Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here waiting for you. Come on in, everybody.
Well, we do praise God for each of you today, and we thank God for his keeping power. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and so we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Here it is, the 25th day. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
25th day of September, and before we know it, September will be out of here, and October is waiting in the wings. But we praise God for each of you tonight as we prepare for this time together. Lady Kim is going to walk us through this 17th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and I tell you, I just feel in my spirit, we might even be able to go ahead and tackle this 18th chapter, because she came in on fire. She was studying her word and ready to go. And so we know that she's ready to go ahead and take us through these few verses here tonight. I think there are about 17 verses in the 17th chapter. So we hope each of you will have already participated in your reading of these particular verses. But let us know, somebody let us know the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we prepare. Some of you are joining us. Let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare to go to this word tonight. 2 Chronicles, the 17th and 18th chapters. So we look forward to Lady Kim presenting tonight.
Why do you keep saying that?
Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we do live, move, and have our being. We pray now your choicest blessing to be upon us as we engage in this time together. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. So we love you tonight. We ask your forgiveness of our sins. And we pray to the Lord that you will continue to strengthen us where we're weak and build us up where we're torn down. Yes, we pray for each participant that will be on this virtual call tonight, and those who will perhaps even hear this time together later by playback. So we yet give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. You've already said that your word would not return into your void. So we believe you have a word for us tonight.
Yes,
and
Lord,
we thank you in advance for that word. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Right, Professor, take us to the water.
All right. Well, they said that the sound is clear on the streaming side.
Okay.
And they say the sound is clear here on the Facebook side.
All right.
So Brother Al says Lima Charlie. So I think that's good to go.
Okay.
So amen. But yesterday, we do usually do a recap of the Sunday sermon. And yesterday you had God's instructions for a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And you came from 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14, where the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name
mm-hmm.
would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven,
okay.
will forgive their sins and heal their land.
All right.
And so
very familiar passage of scripture, right?
That last verse that I read, the 14th verse, is the very familiar passage of scripture that you talk about.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. I know you're in your groove. I don't want to break your momentum.
No,
go right
that's
ahead.
All I had.
That was it?
No, I'm just teasing.
Okay.
But you had 3 points, and I don't think you got to all of your points yesterday.
Okay. Well, tell us what you heard, Lady Kim, and what the Lord was saying to you as we were preaching. It was good to have you back in the pulpit yesterday as well. I know the Sunday before you were out, and you had an enjoyable time. You did make it for Bible study last Monday after y'all came back from your trip to Dallas. But it was good that you were able to be back in the number. Did you miss being in ATOP?
I did. I missed it a lot. Okay. You know, you feel like a fish out of water when you're not where you're supposed to be or where you usually are. You know, you're in such a pattern and a routine of things that you miss it when it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Amen. I missed it.
And while you're talking about that, one of the interesting comments that one of our daughters made when we picked y'all up from the airport was that they had been in such an environment and around the anointing of God where the experience that they had in Dallas was not something foreign to them. And many times when people have not been immersed in the Spirit and a part of an anointed environment, sometimes they when they go to conferences, when they go to different conventions, it's like they're just like amazed by everything that happens. But when you grow up and when you find yourself being taught and being challenged on the regular, when you get ready to go, it's almost confirmation and affirmation for you rather than almost just getting some new information. Wouldn't you agree with me on that? And so one of our daughters kind of indicated that and how appreciative she was of being in an anointed environment, and that really prepared her, both of them, really, for what they were sharing in the conference and what they were teaching and what the preaching was all about. And I think the praise and the worship was really off the chain.
It was.
And they created a new song during that conference, if I'm not mistaken. But I just wanted to throw that in. We don't have to go all the way back to the conference. But you can go ahead and finish telling us about yesterday.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I just have a little bit, a few notes that I took. You know, when it talked about the Lord appearing to Solomon at night and saying, I've heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself, a house of sacrifice.
Okay.
You know, it lets us know that God hears our prayers.
That's right.
No matter where we are, no matter what is going on in our lives, all we have to do is present ourselves in a posture of prayer, and God will hear our prayers if we pour out our hearts to Him. And you talked about humility. You know, we have to humble ourselves.
That's right. That's
right. And that's part of the 14th verse where it said, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. So, you know, what I got from it is that there are always some contingencies for God's actions. He's waiting on us to do something first.
All right.
And then he will respond as a result. The word says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us always, even until the end. But there's always something that precedes God's actions. He's waiting on us to do something. So the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves.
Right.
And we have to have a spirit of humility. One thing it talks about is that pride can bring a person down. You know, and many times we're too proud to say we're sorry. We're too proud to let people know we're in need. We're too proud to go back and try something over again. We're too proud to be a good example of God's grace and mercy. We're too proud to show or to stand up on to our Christian morals when everything else is when everybody else is saying the wrong thing. We're too proud, and pride goes before the fall.
So we have
to humble ourselves.
Okay.
Humble ourselves, seek God's face. And then it says when we humble ourselves, seek God's face, then we have to turn. Turn from our wicked ways. And I think your last one was to pursue. You know, pursue God. We need to pursue means to go after with all your might.
That's right.
So we have to pursue God. And we are broken. And we are broken, but we serve God who can do a major work on our behalf. Mm. So in our brokenness, when we pursue God, God is able to do a major work in us. We serve a miracle working God, and God has promised that he can do for us that no other power on earth can do.
Wow.
So we just have to trust God where we are. God knows how to settle and center us and work things out for our good. Because his word said all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so we have to just lean and depend and trust in that.
All right, Reverend, you're rolling. I like that. That's good, because that brokenness piece is really key in terms of many times people not experiencing the miracle that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They get locked in a place of brokenness, whether it's on their job, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in your finances or whatever it might be. And many times people want to have the blessings of God, but they don't want to bless the blesser. Mm-hmm. In other words, they want all of the things that the promise says, but they don't want to do what it takes in order to get what the promise is all about.
Amen.
And so those are some of the things that keep us locked in a broken place and in a broken spirit, because we want what we want, but we don't want to do what's necessary
to get
what we want.
Yeah.
And so as a result, people many times remain stuck in ruts and never able to advance in their walk with God, and they become frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for people to go back to what they have become accustomed to than to do what's necessary in order to fulfill the requirements by God. We live beneath the standard and the privilege that God has placed upon our lives. And so frustration sets in, and we find ourselves in a place of emptiness and a place of brokenness. But there's a remedy for brokenness, just like there are instructions for a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And as you indicated, there are some prerequisites that have to be in place. We can't just live our lives any kind of way.
That's right.
And expect God to come through on his promises.
Amen. We want to live all raggedy.
Yeah.
Tore up, and then we want God to bless.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that if we're going to be a part of what God has already promised, that we align ourselves with his will. We refer back to John's, in John's gospel, where he says, ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, then you can ask for what you will,
Amen.
And it shall be given to
Hallelujah.
You. But many times we don't want to abide in the word, and we don't want to do what God requires of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we want all of the benefits of what the word and the promises have in store.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And God knows what's best for us.
That's
Somebody said, I've been asking God for this particular thing for a long time, and he hasn't given it to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not in your best interest. You know.
You said something, Reverend. You might need to repeat that. Somebody's probably been...
Amen. Asking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not materialized yet. And you saying, okay, God, what's up with that?
Right.
You said, ask what I will and it shall be given to me. But if it's not in your best interest, God is not going to do that for you.
Wow.
You know? So
that's powerful. Because many times, Lady Kim, I believe that what we ask God for... oftentimes we're not ready for what he has to give us.
Okay.
And God has to do a work in us to prepare us for that thing that we want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a breaking has to take place in our lives so that we can receive the fullness of what God's promises are all about.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to something that we have to go against the grain in terms of experiencing the blessings of God, we'll much rather stay in that same predicament that we're in than to risk the fact that God wants to break us and change us. He's not trying to drown us. He's trying to teach us how to swim.
Amen.
So that our only plea might be, have thine own way, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, God. I yield myself to you. I I yield my way, I yield my spirit, I yield everything about me to you so that I can align myself with your will and your purposes for my life. And that comes as a result of studying this word, getting into this word, not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. And you'll find yourself when you're praying that you won't ask for something that's that you already know is outside of what God would want you to have. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Amen. Sister Lyra says, when his word abides in us, we will ask for what he wants.
That's right. That's right.
That's true. That's true. And you know what I found out too? That sometimes we're so comfortable in where we are that we're afraid to do something different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think I told somebody the other day, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
That's right.
You cannot continue to do the same old stuff and expect God to do something different in
your life.
That's right. You have to make a change, not only a conscious change, but a heart change.
Uh-oh.
You know, people say it starts in the head. No, it starts in the heart.
That's right.
Because when your heart is changed, then your head can change.
Wow.
When you feel it right here, then it'll move up to here.
Uh-oh. You did one of them like that, Reverend. I see that. I see you. I'm watching. I'm watching. I'm listening. But you're absolutely right. And God wants to change our hearts. As a matter of fact, he talks about a circumcision of the heart.
Amen.
And so that's what has to happen. And then once that takes place, I mean, everything else is going to fall in line.
Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
it will.
All right. Lady Kim is telling me she wants me to go ahead and move on so that she can get into this study tonight. But Lady Kim, we had an awesome weekend. Even leading up to Sunday, you all had a rich experience at Bethany Hills. And I think they're trying to fix that floorboard where you stomped so hard up there and preached till the glory fell at Bethany Hills. You already knew they needed to do some repairs up there. And you went up there and just tore the place up.
No, that's not true.
I'm just telling you what I heard now. Yeah. And so I believe we have some witnesses out there who can attest to the fact that you did an outstanding job.
Hey, thank you.
And,
thank you.
That was a great, that was a great experience, I'm sure, for some of the women who went for the first time. And it has been a while since we experienced Bethany Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 20 years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful site. It has
beautiful
a lot
campground.
Of potential, a lot of possibilities. And how many women were present at that retreat?
We had 10 from ATOP, but I think 70 women were registered in all. And they were women from all over Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Middle Tennessee, West Tennessee, and East Tennessee. The majority of the women came from West Tennessee, which is our area,
right.
And also Middle Tennessee, which is the Nashville area.
Okay.
I think we only had one person
from
the East that was there. But we had a wonderful time, a wonderful, very diverse
mm-hmm.
Fellowship with okay. women. And I met some of the sweetest ladies
mm-hmm.
at that retreat. They were so kind and so gracious and so complimentary, and thanked me for the word. But I just thank God for their kindness and their generosity to me.
Okay, all right.
And they gave me a beautiful plaque.
Wow.
Amen. So I'll be hanging that in my office as a memorial of that great time that we had at Bethany Hills.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful campground.
And even while we were traveling, then the workshop for the Institute was going on
mm-hmm.
back here in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Butler was closing out the portion where it deals with, she was not doing the outreach part, she was doing the discipleship aspect. Is that right?
That's correct.
Of the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another module to go, mm-hmm. and that deals with the outreach and
the evangelism.
But we were not there to be able to participate in that. But we already knew before we left that everything was going to flow and that they were in capable hands. Dr. Butler, I think she's on the call, certainly grateful for her gifts and for all that she brings to the body of Christ, her and Dr. Qualis. And we have so many gifted individuals at ATOP, and many times people don't appreciate what they have until it's gone. That's the saying. But we have to acknowledge the fact that God has so gifted us with the fivefold ministry in full swing right there at Anointed Temple of Praise. And we are blessed by so many people. People acknowledged in their call to ministry. We have some excellent teachers, probably the best teachers in the city of Memphis when it comes to Sunday school. And I tell you, we have some preachers that can flat out preach. And so we just don't have enough time to get around to everybody. We're going to have to probably go back to a second service and maybe create that 8 o'clock service again and make that shift. See, some of y'all looking at me crazy like Lady Kim is doing right now. But I tell you, when you step out, God will step in. And many times we are not willing to trust God in the unknown. And we have to move beyond what we are familiar with. As a sermon I once preached about moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Because I believe, Lady Kim, that it's in the unfamiliar territories that we experience God like we've never experienced him before.
Amen.
And so we praise God for all of the capable leaders and preachers and teachers that he's placed in, an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, what's her name, Rucker, Miss...
Georgia
Rucker, that's right. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. You know, I found out, I told her Sunday why, I found out why she wanted to drive. She's got a little speed demon.
She drove
Saturday
and drove right past us.
That's right, went right on past us. It ain't, no, we with you now. Slow down, you know, slow your roll. But great time in the Lord. And then when we finished up with the service on yesterday, and I know time is getting away, we had a great time in our outreach Sunday with feeding the homeless and participating. And it was just amazing. Even as we got ready to go to our final stop, we went through the downtown area like we normally do. And we ran across another group that was, they were preaching, they had the meals prepared, the table set up. And so we pulled the bus around and introduced ourselves. And we unloaded, you know, and put some meals on the table for them. They asked us to do the prayer. And then a couple of our members did a song.
Wow.
And so it was just a good fellowship. And then we went on to our next destination. But so many people experience God in a different way when we're serving outside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So many members are yet accustomed to just being... thinking that everything that God requires of us happens on Sunday and in the four walls. But no, we're much bigger than that, and God is much bigger than that. What is
Sister Rucker said, must you tell
everything? I know, right?
Yeah. Now, you ought to know he's going to tell everything.
No, I didn't tell everything. But
and put some gravy on top of that everything.
But no, we had a great time after church, and also a great time on Saturday. And I tell you, the Lord is just so gracious toward us. And, you know, I don't take it lightly or for granted, because I have my ear to the ground, and I probably mentor at least three other pastors. Several of them are not even in the city. And I know what's happening out there in Christendom in terms of how churches are yet trying to figure this thing out and still trying to make sense and struggle with, you know, some things that we take for granted. But we ought not ever take for granted what God is doing. And we have to keep our foot to the pedal like Sister Georgia did Saturday and continue to press toward that mark, because God has favored us. He's kind to us. And I tell you, it's a blessing just to be able to serve.
Amen. Dr. Q said, who wouldn't serve a God like
that's
that?
That's right. That's right.
God is abundantly gracious, and we are thankful.
Absolutely. And so I believe this Saturday we have a couple of events coming up, and you can share that with as we prepare to close out. But we're going to jump into 2 Chronicles, this 17th chapter, because we see yet another shift in the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see where Was that a signal you were giving me? What was that? I'm trying to figure out.
No, you were talking about how me studying. Mm-hmm. And just for my
You kept tapping your hand like that. I was trying
because I have some notes. Oh, that okay. I want
that's
to,
what you that yes, we want to get to.
Next time I'll just butt in and
yeah,
say,
that's what you should have did. But I kept you told me off when you kept doing like that. I was trying to figure out.
Y'all come get it. No, really, for my own personal, you know, I went back because I kept getting confused between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Mm-hmm. And so I just went Asa. Back. Yeah. So I want to do just a quick recap of that to bring us up to where
okay.
we are.
That's you what know, that little tapping was.
Yes, it was. All and right. it's only going to take sure. a few seconds because we start out with King David.
That's right.
Right.
That's
we
right.
know David was a man after God's own heart. And once David died and passed away, his son Solomon began to reign.
Right, right.
Now we know Solomon was wisest and richest king of all, but
mm-hmm, wisdom.
He mm-hmm. had some problems, mm-hmm. you know, that he had to deal with. And once Solomon died, his son Rehoboam, mm-hmm. Rehoboam became the king. Now when Rehoboam became the king, Jeroboam came to him, and Jeroboam was a servant under Rehoboam.
Okay.
He was a servant in charge, I guess, of some people, but he came to Jeroboam and said, you know, the people are saying, you know, your dad was really harsh and kind of ease up. So Rehoboam went then and asked the advice. He asked some older counsel, and he asked younger counsel. The older counsel told him, you know, to kind of ease up. The younger counsel said, no, just put the hammer down right, even harder.
Right, right, right.
And so when Rehoboam made it harder for the people with taxation, a schism over taxation, divided the kingdom.
That's right.
And that's when Rehoboam became the king of the southern kingdom of only two tribes, mm-hmm. Benjamin and Judah.
Okay.
And Jeroboam became the northern kingdom king okay. over 10 of the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the kingdom is divided into the northern and southern, no longer one kingdom. And so after Rehoboam's son Abijam became the king. And then after Abijam, we talked about Asa last
right,
week.
Right.
And now today from Asa, his son, Jehoshaphat.
Right.
So that's where we are today.
Okay. You're doing a great job, Reverend. I knew you had some voice tonight. And a lot of people may not know that track record in terms of how all of that began to lead us to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because even last week, we talked about how there's a difficulty of finishing well.
Yes.
And how David had some problems, Solomon had problems, Rehoboam had issues, mm-hmm. Jeroboam had some problems, Asa had some problems, mm-hmm. and the list goes on and on. And so we need to be mindful of looking back over the experiences that we see in terms of how people were tried and their leadership, and how many times it was just a bad decision or ill advice that led them to really get on the bad side of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think with that being said, Lady Kim, it's all coming out in this 17th chapter as well. With that being said, we have to stay close to God, and we have to continue to be led by the Spirit of God. And we have to make sure that we follow wise counsel not think that just because we have a little victory, just because we have learned a few things, that we know everything and that nobody can tell us anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot push aside wisdom and experience
yes.
as well as age,
mm-hmm.
because that's where your wisdom comes from. Most of the people who are up in years and who have gone through some things, if you talk to them long enough, they'll tell you something. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't just pinpoint exactly what it is your issue might be.
Right.
They'll give you some words of wisdom and some counsel and some advice. That's one of the things my dad would do. Yes. I mean, he was so rich in wisdom.
Yes, he was.
He would just, he would spill out stuff, you know, and you wouldn't even have to tell him what you were going through. An interesting thing about him, he would never give you an answer, but you would have enough information in your hand
to make your own
decision. And so I think that's key, particularly to the leaders who are on the call tonight and those who are seeking, you know, leadership positions. Don't just dismiss those who have gone before you.
Amen.
And make sure that you sit at the feet of the elders and get a sense of how you can improve on what God has blessed you with.
Amen.
And then you pass it on to those who are coming behind you, because it's key in terms of the reverence and the old school way. Some people want to dismiss that and want to forget about the songs that brought us over and how we made it over, but we can't forget that. That's what got us to where we are, and God honors that. And we saw that in last week, where once they strayed away, then God was not pleased with their actions, because each of these leaders that you mentioned started out, you know, serving God, seeking God, doing what was right. And something happened that they found themselves going back to the world, so to speak, and not living the God life that was prescribed for them.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Wisdom is everything.
Okay. All right. Yes. So we're in the 17th chapter, and Lady Kim has already primed us for what has already transpired. And now we see that Jehoshaphat, he begins to reign in Judah. Mm-hmm. Now, Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa.
Yes.
Okay. And Jehoshaphat is a well-known king.
Mm-hmm.
And so this chapter here begins to describe some of the things that he did and how he started out right. He started out doing what was right. He started out, you know, with his mind straight and willing to go back and pick up everything through the lineage that was prosperous and things that had happened to get them to where they were.
Amen.
And so they're about 17, 19 verses there. Is that right?
Let's see.
19 verses, yeah, in that 17th chapter.
Okay. All right. So
I know you're going to check it. You want to go ahead and check it?
No, you want me to read them all?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We'll go ahead and read them all.
Yes, 19 verses.
Mm-hmm.
Jehoshaphat reigns in Judah.
Okay.
All right. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel.
So that's Asa's son.
Asa's son, okay. Yes. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David.
Right.
He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and the wooden images from Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethiel, and Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah.
Right.
And with them he sent Levites, Shema, Naphtalah, Zebadiah, Asiel. You all know I'm not doing well with these names. Shemiramoth, Jonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonjah, the Levites. And with them, Elshema and Jehoram, the priest. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were round Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat.
Wow.
Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats.
Mm.
So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the city of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem.
That's right.
These are their numbers according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands. Adnah, the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehotham, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him, Amashah, the son of Zachariah, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield.
Mm-hmm.
And next to him, Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king besides those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah.
Isn't that something? That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot in that particular chapter. It's only 19 verses, but it's power packed, because Jeroboam, of course, is starting out the way he should, and he's honoring God, and he's seeking the Lord. He's inquiring of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and doing what's right by God. And the interesting thing that really stood out for me, Lady Kim, is that he made sure that he sent out all of, I think they were called, he sent out all of his people who were around him to go out and teach in all of the regions throughout the land,
mm-hmm.
so that there would be a sense of unified connection in terms of what the overall message was that was coming from the king. And everybody was speaking pretty much the same language, mm-hmm. and they were on one accord. Mm-hmm. And so I think when he established the, what verse is that?
Verse number 8, he sent 9 Levites, mm-hmm. they're listed in verse 8,
mm-hmm.
and 2 priests are listed in verse 8.
Okay.
So
and sent them out to be teachers.
To be teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught in Judah, mm-hmm. and had the book of the law of the Lord with them.
Right.
So they're all on one accord.
That's
teaching the same thing. So they're all hearing the same message.
That's right.
Because remember back then, there were a lot of idols.
That's
they worshiped a lot of idol gods. And this is where Jehoshaphat went back. He called David his father, but actually David was his what? Great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Right, right, right.
You know, but they understood how David worshiped the true and living God,
mm-hmm.
and it was passed down from, you know, from father to son to grandson, mm-hmm. to great-grandson, mm-hmm. to great-great-grandson. So they knew God.
They knew it.
Each generation knew
the
true and living God, but they got mixed up with those idol gods.
That's right.
But here Jehoshaphat goes back. And he worships the true and living God. And he gets rid of all those idol gods. Again, here we go, getting rid of idol gods.
Right. And he sends out the priests and the Levites,
mm-hmm.
to do the teaching that was necessary so that everybody was hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so key. That's so critical because, you know, a house divided cannot stand.
Amen.
And it's important for the message has to match the ministry. And the message that we teach has to match the ministry that we preach.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see somebody just kind of out there doing their own thing and just kind of creating a whole lot of themselves,
amen.
Rather than trying to follow the script,
yes.
Following the vision and the mission of the house, it causes more confusion than it does helpfulness.
Amen.
And it drives people away rather than draw. We're in the business of drawing people, not driving people away.
Amen.
And so this passage really helps in terms of how not only did Jehoshaphat strengthen the kingdom, this can apply to us as well as a church.
That's
I mean, everybody has to be saying the same thing. It's not, I mean, all our personalities are different, but we need to be on the same page and on one accord. And the people will be blessed as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And you will prosper in your own ministry because God honors that. And you know what happened on the day of Pentecost. I mean, God honors that. So that's where the fire comes from. And when we're on one accord.
Amen. Amen. And we have to keep in mind, too, that this was a time, this is the seminary student coming out in me, that people were not literate. They didn't know how to read. But all the all priests were Levites.
That's
all
right.
Priests came out of the tribe of Levi, but not all Levites were priests.
Okay.
But the priests Levites
help us seminary
were the ones that were literate.
That's right.
They were literate. They could read. They could write.
Absolutely.
And they were the ones who proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord." And so the Levites and the priests were teachers by office and had the book of the law with them for their own guidance, focusing on instructions they gave to the people, not teaching the doctrines of men, but delivering to them only what they had received from the Lord.
That's right. That's right. And so even in our own history as a people, we know that there were a lot of itinerant preachers that really had minimal education, but they had some experience in what the word was saying, and they had a closeness with God. And so people would gather from near and far to hear what God was saying through his representative.
Amen.
And many times, you know, I can go down a whole nother rabbit hole with this. But our counterparts would use that against us and teach them certain parts of the Bible and have that to be a yoke around our necks rather than something that would give us the freedom that we needed in order to experience God like God wanted us to experience him. And I know that in your studies, you were talking about Paul, and that was the whole purpose for God making sure that he instituted something in Paul that revolutionized the whole Christian experience.
Amen.
And the diversity that we experience today was part of what God had in mind, you know, when he had Paul to take the charge. And we were talking about when, who was that went to him when he was blind, and he said he didn't want to go in that ninth chapter of Acts. I can't think of his name. But
Cornelius,
that's right. And Cornelius went on in, and God used Cornelius. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm trying to get you all to see tonight is that many times you might not be that person, but God can put you in a position to be a help to somebody else that he wants to carry the torch even further. Just like with Ananias and who was that? Ananias, when he was preaching, he did not have the full gospel message. And somebody had to sit him down and give him further instructions in terms of the relevance of what else was a part of the gospel message. And so God would use you to be an instrument of helping somebody else to go further in terms of the experience that God would have them to have.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh. All right. Did I just mess up all your little
process? Carry on.
All right. But no, this that's why I was just kind of thinking about that 18th chapter. But we don't have to really get into it tonight, but we have enough time if you want to read some of that and just give us a recap of what this 17th chapter is all about. I think it's self-explanatory in terms of us, our willingness to follow God and prescribe to the way of God and be, you know, in tune with the will of God. And just like we were talking about earlier, God honors that one accord, union, you know.
Unity. Unity in the body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we could take something away from chapter 17, it would be, you know, that Jehoshaphat, he became the king and was devoted to the Lord, and he sent officials to teach the law,
mm-hmm.
and he grew greater and built fortresses. So that's a little historical background about Jehoshaphat,
mm-hmm.
That he stayed with the Lord.
He
sent officials to teach that law.
That's right.
So that they wouldn't stray from the law.
And even we see where the Philistines even began to line up, and they said, "No, we're on board. We hear the message, and we're clear." And God, when God places a message in your heart, and you do right by God, even your enemies will have to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who are opposed to you will have to bow down. God will take that person who was trying to, you know, hate you and turn it around so they'll be a blessing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of how important it is to be on track and follow the direction of God, because man might intend it for evil, but God, somebody type, but God. But God can turn it around for your good.
Yes.
And so even when you think and it looks like things are not going according to your timetable, God is trying to do a work in you so that he can prepare you for what he has next in store for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I said a mouthful,
yes,
right through
did.
That. Somebody ought to say, man, Lady Kim looking at me like, you know, she missed it.
But God.
But there it is right there. That's
but
what we're
God.
Looking for.
Yes, amen.
Okay. So where do you want to take us, Lady Kim? Your call.
We can get it started.
Okay.
Start on 18.
Yeah. Let me share a little bit about some of what happens here, because we might not be able to get, because I think it's about...
there are quite a few verses here.
My Bible says it's 34 verses.
Yes.
But here we see in this chapter, just a summary from my study Bible, compromise comes into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's no room for tolerance. Mm-hmm. And so I think many times people get to a place where they feel that they can just kind of, you know, deal with God's commands, and they start putting their own spin on it to the point where it jeopardizes the original thought process or the original vision of what God has for you. And then you'll find yourself in a situation where you are doing something that's taking you farther away from what God would have for you to do. And you look around and you see that compromise really kind of is what throws you off track.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're going to see coming out here in this 18th chapter.
Okay.
All right. So how you want to just read a few verses, or it's, what, 34 verses?
Mm-hmm.
You want to read 15 verses, and we can stop there, and then we can come in on whatever we see this.
Mm-hmm. Micaiah warns Ahab. All right. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 18th
Hello.
Chapter. It says, Jehoshaphat had riches
Hello.
And honor and abundance,
huh?
And by marriage he allied himself with Ahab.
Oh.
After some years he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria,
okay.
And
right.
Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." So also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for me the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things.
Mm-hmm.
Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed.
Wow.
And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen. The words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Then he turned to the king and said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? That was 15.
Go ahead. Please.
Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as the sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and left hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then the spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets.
What?
And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you.
Wow.
Then Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on his cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on the day when you go into the inner chamber to hide.
Mm.
Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amnon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people.
Go ahead, Reverend, read the rest of that.
Verse 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, this is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariots, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Samaritans until evening. And about that time of sunset, he died.
Wow, wow. Well, see, that's and I know our time has gotten away from us, but that's back to that whole thing about compromise and how many times we can get caught up in listening to other people when God has already given us clear instructions. And so I think even in this, Ahab really kind of convinced Jehoshaphat to do something that he had not really intended to do. And it's obvious from this particular chapter that the lion spirits were active in this whole process. And God allowed it to happen. And Jehoshaphat was one who was willing to even try to reckon with what he had did wrong. And the Bible says God spared him. And Ahab, he was unfortunate. It was unfortunate for him that that arrow that hit him really hit him in a spot that he was not protected from. And as a result, he had to leave the battlefield. And as it says in that last verse, that he died before the sun went down. And so here's that thought about compromise. There are times when tolerance cannot be tolerated. And King Jehoshaphat formed an alliance with King Ahab of Israel to fight a common enemy, failing to understand that when you partner with an immoral or a deceitful leader, you're asking for trouble. Moral failure impacts every part of leadership.
Amen.
And so that's what this whole 18th chapter was all about. And even though you might find yourself in right standing with God, sometimes you can listen to the wrong people and you can yield to compromise, and sometimes there's no room for tolerance. You have to stay the course and be obedient to what God has put forth for you to do, even when it looks like it's contrary to what other people might be saying.
And I think something that we can take away, because the time has gotten away from it, Ahab and Jehoshaphat planned for war. And Micaiah said, I saw Israel scattered. Your prophets are lying. And Ahab was killed in battle. So we need to say and only do what God says.
That's right.
No matter what ungodliness is spoken or seen, avoid conflict and pain and loss of life by just doing what God has said to do.
That's right. All right. So we did get a chance to go ahead and cover that. And next week, we'll just move on to the 19th chapter and maybe even do a brief review of some of the things. But I think that's well spoken and well covered of what happened in this 18th chapter. But Lady Kim, are there any announcements or anything that you'd like to share with us before you close us out with a word of prayer?
Well, this coming Saturday, don't forget, we're doing our active shooter training. Mm-hmm. Everybody is invited, even visitors, guests, visitors need to know what to do. So we're expecting all of our ministry leaders, our ministry volunteers, friends and family members are welcome to join. 10 o'clock a.m. this Saturday, the active shooter training. And then on Sunday, of course, Sunday school at 8:30 a.m. for all ages. And then at 9:45, we will have our worship service. So come on in for that. And then we want to lift up any prayer requests, but certainly we want to pray for the family of our member, Sister Yolanda Cooper, and the loss of her daughter, Portia Williams. That memorial service will be Sunday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. So we hope many ATOP members can support Sister Yolanda during that memorial service time. It will be a brief memorial service, but we know it will be impactful.
That's right. And don't forget early voting. It ends this Saturday, the 30th, and the start time on Saturday is 8 a.m., and it goes all the way through to 4 p.m., but you can also go from 11 a.m. Monday through Friday to 7 p.m., and some of the lines have been really slow, and I think a lot of people are still trying to discern the voice of God in this whole process, but this is a crucial election, and it's critical that we exercise our right to vote. And we hope many of you who haven't already in the city of Memphis gotten a chance to vote, that you take advantage of the early voting site right there at ATOP.
Amen. And it is the mayoral election as well as city council. All the seats are open for city council and the mayor's position. We have several people, I think, too many people running, but I think, 16 or 17 mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. Running for mayor. So your vote counts if you live in the city of Memphis. Some prayers are being asked for Eddie Foster, Marion Johnson, and the Jefferson family. Okay. We'll lift them up in prayer also. Amen?
Okay.
All right, let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we thank you for the lesson on today. We know if we stick with you, God, we can never go wrong. We ask, God, that you give us discernment when it comes to making decisions. Let us make the proper decisions in order that we might please you. God, we lift up the prayer request today for the Eddie Foster and Marion Johnson and the Jefferson family, God. We ask whatever they're going through, God, that you would give them strength like none other. We ask that you would heal whatever is broken, oh God. Mend and put back together again those things that have been torn asunder. And God, we pray peace and blessings to be upon Sister Yolanda as they say their final goodbyes to Portia. We ask, God, that you would continue to be with them and stand by them. I lift up my sister, Sister Rita Shelton, and her husband, Reverend Elmer Shelton, and the loss of their daughter, Erica. I ask that you comfort them during their time of loss, God. And we know, God, that you are the great comforter, and we trust and believe that weeping may endure for a night, but that your joy shall come in the morning.
Thank you, God.
So we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you all for all of those who have listened to this Bible study and who will listen to this Bible study in the future. We give you thanks and abundant praise. Blessings and peace be on the activities this weekend. And we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Thank you, Lady Kim, for leading us in that powerful prayer as we close out tonight.
Amen. Good night, everybody. See y'all next week.